cash, every movie costs $2,184.
Hello and welcome everyone to Backtracks Theme Music. My name is Corey Morissette, joined as always by John Mariano. How are you doing today, John?
I'm doing great. We're here today and we're going to talk about one of my very favorite subjects. And I think one of yours too, even though you're not familiar with the show. But we're gonna get a little bit broader today than just the show because of who we're talking about.
I got very excited actually when you brought this up because I haven't seen the show and I've been told by multiple people I really need to. I know it was on for like 10 seasons, but it's about a subject that I'm pretty fond of. You want to let the folks know? I know they know by looking at the episode title, but tell everybody which song and what show we're covering here today.
So we're gonna cover a little band called Remy Zero, who before the song was not very well known or popular at all, but Save Me is one of the greatest opening theme songs to any TV show in the history of the world. And I'll put it up against anything. And it's not the whole song. There's like a part of the song that's extracted specifically for the show. I believe it's the bridge. I'll know it when we get to it. So the song, you know, for people familiar with only the TV show, does not start off, you know, kicking into high gear the way it does in the show. They picked like the most powerful verse of the song to represent the TV show. And at the time, there were a couple of other pretty big Superman songs going around. There was like Jimmy Olsen Blues by the Spin Doctors. There were a couple other, ones about Superman. What was that one? I'm not that naive. I'm just one day I'll learn to fly.
Greatest American Hero?
With the clouds between my knees, I'm more than a bird, more than a plane. There was like another song at that time that was very specifically about Superman. And I was very disappointed that wasn't the theme song of the show. But having just rewatched the show, Save Me is undeniably the Superman song because it's more about the people Superman rescues, begging for help, like calling out for a hero. And the show, just to give you some background, Corey, features a very young actor. At the time, he was a newcomer, Tom Welling. And Tom Welling came in to play a younger version of the Christopher Reeve Superman. You know, they don't outwardly say it, but there's enough allusions to it in the show that's who he's going to become. And there's enough things that they change over time where he's not specifically the Superman from that Earth, if you want to get into multiverse and everything else. But there's enough going on where he's not a too distant relative in another universe of that Superman. And he never, the whole mantra of the show is no tights, no flights. So you're watching the show for 10 seasons and they're doing a Superman show. And at the time, I was very disappointed because every week I'd be looking for tights or for him to fly. And they kind of show, like, in my rewatch of it, because I watch it with my girls, I realized that the show is really about what it's like to be Superman. And that before he figures out who Superman is, that's why it's called Smallville, it's he needs to let go of some of the things he's learned on Earth and embrace some of his Kryptonian side. But then he over-adjusts over the course of the show and at some point becomes too Kryptonian and he's not enough human. And it's really what Superman is the meshing of those two. Is his human side, the Jonathan Kent side, and the Jor-El side, and how they come together in teaching him things. And that's what the show is about. And in its 10th season, they really show his growth. I'll spoil it for you. He goes from Clark Kent to Superman in this arch in the season, and you see him embracing things he had pushed away earlier in the series. Throughout the series, they were very consistent about things that were, you didn't realize at the time, but the things that were holding him back. And I think it's a really beautiful story. It's my favorite Clark Kent and my favorite Lex Luthor in this show. Michael Rosenbaum as Lex Luthor, he has a line in it, Corey, in like season one, where he's talking to Clark. He's like, I am the villain of the story. And he declares it. And they're best friends at the time. but it's how he feels. And to me, it's what I picture when I picture Lex. And Welling is such a warm and inviting presence as Clark Kent. He's everything you picture the big blue boy scout to be, including the fact that there was a couple of appearances by Christopher Reeve over the course of the show where he plays a doctor who teaches him about his legacy a little bit more because he's studying the stars. Christopher Reeve was in the wheelchair at the time, and they bring him in almost as a Stephen Hawking kind of presence. Okay. Who's studying the stars, and he teaches Clark a lot about Kryptonians. And it was a nice passing of the torch within the show. Margo Kidder shows up. They do Dean Cain, Terry Hatcher show up. There's enough Easter eggs for Superman fans, and we're going to talk about some of those Supermen today because that's what the show, this episode is particularly about, is our love of all things Superman. But you didn't even know that much going into it, that this show really celebrates the legacy of Superman.
Well, that sounds fantastic. I know I was just kind of looking over the cast list here as you were talking there. And, Annette O'Toole was actually in Superman 3, but she doesn't play the same character, right? Like, I know you said it's kind of a cousin to the Christopher Reeve Superman films, not really a continuation of. So maybe tell us about Annette O'Toole and who does she play in Smallville?
So Annette O'Toole plays, of all people, she played Lana Lang in the original, and this is very much about Clark and Lana, especially early on. By season 5, they move to Lois Lane, and Erica Durance does a terrific turn as Lois Lane, especially later in the show when they show her evolution from she's a very she's a teenager when you meet her, and they show how she turns into this reporter. Michael McKean, Annette O'Toole's real life husband, plays Perry White later in the show.
Oh, really? That's great.
And Perry White inspires Lois to become a better reporter in a lot of ways. And they show that. You actually see that growth happen as credited to Perry White. And it's very cool. And they show Perry White become editor-in-chief. And they, like, you get to see a lot of these things. But to go back to your original question, Annette O'Toole plays Martha Kent. And it's such a wonderful turn. John Schneider plays Jonathan Kent, and to me, he is Pa Kent, and she is Ma Kent. And you do all your Marthas and everything else in movies. And that O'Toole embodies the strength and the warmth of Martha Kent in so many ways.
What you described to me is everything I've ever loved and related to when it comes to the Superman story that we've gotten away from in later iterations. So you've convinced me. As soon as we're done the call, I'm going to go watch Smallville.
I will say that it's not without its faults. You know, this is back when they were doing 22 to 24 episodes at a clip on network TV. So it has a lot of the trappings, especially early on, but even later on, of these episodes that have nothing to do with the main story. There's a lot of Monster of the Week because it was coming on off it was coming up on the heels of Buffy. So it was very much like the network was pushing Monster of the Week, Monster of the Week, Monster of the Week. And for continuity purposes, they thought it was easier to tell that story. As they get deeper into it and you get into the Doomsday story, you get into Brainiac, you get into Darkseid. And these are all spoilers, but it gives you everything you want in one way or another. You might not agree with the version because it was TV budgets or whatever. I actually hated Darkseid when they first did it, but going back and watching it and now understanding there's a multiverse and this is a version of Darkseid, I actually like the take they do because they do a take where he's more like an entity, an evil entity. And, you know, I really wanted like the guy in the suit and making them all of that. And you don't really get that, but it's such a force for Clark to battle pure evil. And it's what ultimately turns him into Superman. Like, I'll spoil the show to you because the show is about Clark Kent becoming Superman.
Right.
You know, whether you see him fly or whether you see him in the cape is irrelevant. It's about what it takes to be Superman. And to do that, they pit him up against Zod. They pit him up against everybody throughout the course of the show. But they finally pit him up against Darkseid. And that's the thing that pushes him over the edge. Is like, you can't have, if you have really perfect evil, you need really perfect good. And Clark has to learn how to be that very perfect good to go against really perfect evil.
Well, that sounds fantastic. What do you say? Let's get into Save Me, the theme song from Smallville by Remy Zero.
So Corey, I know what you're thinking right now is I sold this as a very driving, powerful song. And I'm sure, like, what's your first take on what we're getting right now?
Well, I'm just kind of thinking standard 2000s alternative rock type song, right? But I was trying to relate it to a young Superman story. And was having troubles making that connection just off the beginning.
So that's why I wanted to stop it. So it's really going to be about the bridge. And when we get there, you'll see what I mean. So all of this right now is just there was this song that the producers heard, and they only need like a 30-second clip or a 2-minute clip or whatever. They only need a very short clip of the song to be the theme song, because it's only during the opening credits, however long that is. So they're going to clip that out. But when I originally heard this song in whole, I'm like, that's the song, because it changes up greatly by the time you get to it. While we're taking a break though, there's been so many iterations of Superman in media. Mm-hmm. And I will include the cartoons, because I think Tim Daly does a phenomenal job doing the voice of it for DC cartoons too. Who is your favorite portrayal of Superman on screen? And that counts the cartoons.
For me, because he was my first Superman, and he'll always be my favorite, it's Christopher Reeve. And it's not just the way he played Superman, it's the way he played Clark Kent, and how I would believe, just by, you know, changing your glasses, no one would recognize you. He played Clark Kent completely different than he did Superman. He was absolutely top-notch. I was a really big fan as well of the Fleischer Studios animated cartoon Superman. I watched a lot of that in my day. But to me, you know, I was 4 years old when Superman came out, and you know, it was the first VHS we ever got. 1980 was Dick Donner's Superman. To me, Christopher Reeves will always be my Superman.
Well, I will say, if you ever get a chance to see Tom Welling, he's gonna be your number two.
Perfect.
I don't think he'll replace him, but you. And this is not a slight to Brandon Routh, who I think did an incredible job with one of the toughest tests I've ever seen in film, in that he was playing the same Superman as Christopher Reeve. And I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I think in the CW TV shows, he had done a turn as Kingdom Come Superman, which I think is one of the best versions of Superman I've seen. I think that his movie, not by any fault of his own, I think he does a great turn as Superman, but the pacing of his movie, and it was just a very boring movie. It's not a statement on him as Superman. I tend to lean towards Christopher Reeve like you, but you know, just to be different and not to be disagreeing with you, because if you sat here and you wanted to argue Christopher Reeve, I would agree with you 10 times out of 10. But the version of Superman in the cartoons played by Tim Daly, to me, is the most Superman can be. They do a bit in it where Superman is fighting Darkseid, and Superman realizes how strong Darkseid is. And Superman makes this whole speech about how every time he fights, he's got to hold back. Every time he does anything, he's like, it's like living in a world of cardboard. And he's talking about what it's like to be Superman in real life, is that everything he touches could fall apart if he touches it wrong, if he looks at it wrong. And he says to Darkseid, but I have a feeling you can take it. And it's like the finale of the original Justice League cartoon. And he starts wailing on Darkseid, Something Wicked, where he hits him so hard, Corey, Darkseid flies through several skyscrapers. And to show Superman's true power, when he gets to the other side, Superman is waiting for him and punches him through the ground.
Right? And I never did watch that series, so everything you're saying sounds great. I got to check out that 1996 that came out.
I believe so. Yeah, it's not just the cartoon, but it's also the Justice League cartoon and the Justice League Unlimited cartoon. He plays that character through that continuity throughout. It's the same thing as Kevin Conroy's Batman. So technically, you know, Tim Daly's Batman is Kevin Conroy, and vice versa.
Yeah,
so
amazing.
So their voices are incredible. You can find YouTube clips. They do a great YouTube clip where Kevin Conroy breaks into Tim Daly's home, where they're doing the voices, and they're doing basically Batman versus Superman dialogue as they're fighting with each other on a home invasion. It's brilliant. Seek it out if you can.
Oh, I got to check that out. That sounds wonderful. I couldn't argue against that. It sounds amazing. I just haven't seen it. The Tim Daly Superman, you know, might supplant Christopher Reeve for me. What do you think of Henry Cavill? I know he's getting a lot of love right now because he just lost his job as Superman. And even though people weren't that happy with his casting, I think his portrayal of Superman grew on a lot of people. What was your take on Henry Cavill?
I feel for Henry Cavill in so many different ways right now. I think he was the perfect Witcher. I think he was a perfect Superman. I feel that he was ever given a fair shake as Superman. I don't ever think that and we could get hate from certain groups that like to hate on people for hating on these movies. I don't feel that his versions of Superman were ever given the proper room to breathe that Superman deserves. I don't think that he fought with the same honor Superman tends to fight with. People will argue Superman doesn't kill or Superman does kill. It's not even about that. There's a way that Superman does kill that I think is a lot more honorable than the way he does it in that movie. Just the way it was shot, it felt very cold-blooded. It didn't emphasize the danger those people were in. It's more because of the way Zack Snyder shoots action. Mm-hmm. I think he's a brilliant director. I think he really composes a shot well. I think he shoots action really well, but I don't think it told the story of the danger those people were in. I think it focused on making it look cool.
100%. And I kind of echo your thoughts about Henry Cavill. I thought he was a great Superman. His Clark Kent, though, I thought was lacking. And you didn't really see much of it. So I couldn't really see what Henry Cavill wanted to do with the Clark Kent character because he's not really represented in those films very much.
But I also feel like that's a knock on the writing. Yeah. Because if Henry Cavill had the Lois and Clark story of the original movies, the love story and the back and forth banter and that kind of stuff, I have no doubt in my mind he would have pulled it off exponentially. Because everything he's been given in any role, whether it's comedic, romantic, or otherwise, he has pulled off wonderfully. He's a terrific actor. When I alluded to him getting such a raw deal lately, you know, he backed out of being The Witcher so he could be Superman, and then Superman fell apart, and now he's neither Superman nor The Witcher, and he was terrific in both roles.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in The Witcher yet, but if you can hold your own against Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible movie, you've more than earned my respect.
Okay, so I'm going to have you stop it and go back to the Somebody Save Me, yeah. And we're going to listen to this part of the song. This is the theme song. This is how it kicks in. Do you hear that Somebody Say that mm-hmm. you were hearing? So I'll wave at you again when it's over, but right now we're getting into the theme song.
Yeah. That's good, because I wasn't enjoying much before then, so I'm looking forward to this section here.
So it's that they add a little sound at the end to make it sound like there's a button on it, where they add a little bit more to the U at the end, and it, then you usually cut to commercial. So usually you'll get like your opening segment introducing the villain of the week, or in the first episode there is no theme song because the first episode shows you a lot of the backstory about the meteor shower, and then they show you transitioning to Clark as a teenager and some of his first experiences with powers. But I think it's episode two starts the theme song. So the pilot doesn't have it. And then that's what you get every week for 10 years, right? So over 200 episodes have that as the theme song. And it's like, it's not a theme song you end up skipping, even as the credits go and change through the years and they're very dated for their time. Because such a, to me, a very catchy tune. What did you think of it?
Without seeing the show, it's a little bit tougher because, like, I wasn't really enjoying the song up until that point. So I was trying to imagine what the intro of the show would look like while that was playing. And I could see how it would fit. And I'll have a different perspective, I'm sure, when I actually watch the series. But to me, this is just very bland, generic, cookie cutter alternative rock from 2000.
So why don't we do this, Corey? I know this is a little bit like breaking format. But can you bring up the opening credits to Smallville, and then we'll listen to the rest of the song? But I kind of want you to have the visual context here, and we could break it down and talk about it as it goes. And it could be from any season.
No, that works for me. I'd also be okay with not listening to the rest of the song either. I'd rather just talk about Superman, to be honest with you. But...
yeah, so I'm like... So as the show goes on, Corey, you get more and more Superman imagery and more Superman characters. Green Arrow becomes a part of the show later on. Oh. Yeah. So you get you get some introduction to some Justice League stuff. You get some introduction to other characters. I will tell you that John Glover, who plays Lionel Luthor, which was a new character for the show, he basically plays the Emperor. Right, if you can think about it, and Lex is Darth Vader. And they show you why Lex is the way he is. They give you an antithesis to Jonathan Kent in this series. And John Glover, who you might know from Scrooged, you might know him from Gremlins 2, right? He's a tremendous actor. Mm-hmm. His turn in this show, I would argue, is Shakespearean in nature. He's playing on another level where he wasn't, you know, I listened to the podcast, Michael Rosenbaum and Tom Welling. I was just trying to look up the name because I listen to it all the time. And I know he does Inside of You. So Michael Rosenbaum and Tom Welling do a podcast called Talkville now, where they're rewatching every episode of Smallville together. And what's great is a lot of times they only were present for the parts of the show they were in, which for Tom Welling was almost every scene of the show. There's very, like when you watch the show, there's very rarely an episode where he's not in every scene because he's such the main character. Rosenbaum, on the other hand, is only in portions of the show. So for Rosenbaum, he's watching it and doesn't have as much ownership over stuff. Not that he doesn't have ownership, he has very much ownership over the Lex stuff and ownership over the people who worked on the show. But his point of view is a lot less personal than maybe Welling's is, because there are plenty of scenes that Welling's in, and there's going to be seasons later in the series where he leaves the show. I'm looking forward to seeing those and his reviews of those, because he has nothing to do with the show by then.
That'd be a really interesting perspective. Yeah. Once I watch Smallville, now I got to check out a podcast. Jeez, I'm going to have to like retire so I can have time to do all this stuff, all this extra homework you're giving me here, John. But I was even kind of shuttling ahead because watching the season one intro to Smallville, it's a CW show. And it was on the CW. Right? Originally, it was the WB, right? Back when. Yeah. And then morphed into the CW very, you know, with the teenage kids and the cheeky dissolves and stuff. But the song does fit the mood of the show. So it's an absolute, great pick for that reason.
But if you look at that, I see you scanning ahead. Later seasons, you see imagery like the Fortress of Solitude. You see different characters come in. You see the Superman-S becomes part of it. Like different versions of the Superman-S show up over the course of the show. You get to see, even though I said no tights, no flights, there are particular episodes where Clark, versions of Clark or characters that look like Clark fly. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but if you can think of any characters that might look a little bit like Superman, maybe you see those characters later in the show.
Can we watch one of the last season?
Yeah, absolutely. The last season is probably a great one to watch. Clark, at this point in the series, by the end of season 9, has become a bit of a vigilante, and you would mistake him more as Batman than you would as Superman. He is wearing a black trench coat and black pants and a black t-shirt with a white Superman S on it. And it kind of is what happens in season 9. One of the characters dies and he's in mourning, and he's also given up on everything Clark Kent for the first time in his life. So at the top of the season, he's fully embraced what they call the blur, because he hasn't been named Superman yet. He doesn't fly, but he runs really fast, and you can't get a picture of him. And when you try to get a picture, you get a picture of a blur. So he's been nicknamed the blur around the city. And that's very much what you're going to see at the top of these credits, is that's where Superman is at. So I want to at least give you some context before you watch the credits.
Perfect. Thank you. So this is the, we're going to hear the song for a third time, I guess, here. This is the season 10B intro to Smallville.
So in 10 years, how far do you think the show comes?
You definitely get those CW vibes, the young, good-looking cast. The kid playing Green Arrow looks like he was just ripped out of Teen Beat magazine or whatever the fuck children read nowadays.
So funny enough, you know what show he's on now?
What's that?
What's that show that everybody watches that like pulls at the heartstrings and makes everybody cry? I'm sure you've heard of it. Like the one that's on lately, or might have just ended.
Better Call Saul?
No. I knew you were going to do this to me, man. Come on.
I'm just trying to look up his credits here. He was on Passions, Young and the Restless.
No.
This is Us?
This is Us. Justin Hartley is one of the top actors on This Is Us. Thank you. And very well known for that. And people don't realize one of his first big breaks was on this show as Green Arrow. He was also tapped, and people don't realize this. Some fans of the show might not even realize this. At one point, he was going to play Aquaman in a spinoff show that they shot the pilot for and never released. Adrian Padalecki from The Orville mm-hmm. was going to play Wonder Woman in sort of a spinoff show as well.
Right.
It never took off. She never, I can tell you, Batman and Wonder Woman never show up in this series, almost to a frustrating degree. So, but you will get some other well-known characters in the DC universe. And I'm going to give you some spoilers right now because we're kind of doing a recap show slash teasing Corey enough to want to watch this show. So at one point you get the Wally West version of the Flash. He's not really the Flash yet, but I believe they call him Impulse. You get Green Arrow, you get Cyborg, you get Black Canary. You also get Aquaman, who's played by the guy who's playing Jack Reacher now.
Okay.
You've seen him and stuff. He's terrific. Adam Richardson. I'm butchering his name right now, and he is Alan Richardson.
Okay.
Alan Richardson is he also played Hawk from Hawk and Dove on Titans, but he plays Aquaman in this, and he plays a great Arthur Curry. All due respect to Jason Momoa, who does the movie justice, in no pun intended there, version of Arthur Curry. Alan Richardson does a tremendous job as Aquaman in this series. I think that you do show up and stay for Michael Rosenbaum and John Glover, especially early on in the show. But all of these cameos, and they're not all cameos, some of them are semi-regulars or to regulars on the show for periods of time. And you know who else you get, Corey?
Who's that?
You have two other members of the Super Friends show up. And I believe in the final season. And they're twins.
Oh, boy.
It's and a
how does that work?
Show up. they give you the Wonder Twins, and they don't say Wonder Twins powers activate, but they do say powers activate, and then one inevitably turns into different versions of water, the other one turns into an animal, and they play big fans of the Blur in that 10th season.
Oh.
And that's what the episode is kind of about, is he's trying to wrap his head around hiding and showing himself, and they are inspired by him to become heroes, and he makes them honorary members of the Justice League.
I'm just wondering how the Wonder Twins would work, you know, in a show like Smallville. So that's kind of cool. Looking forward to that. But one actor I wanted to talk about real quick, because I saw her name on both season one and season 10, is Allison Mack, and who she plays. Because I only know the name Allison Mack because of the Nexium Sucks cult. I believe she's in jail right now, or her trial is still happening, or something like that. Is she prevalent in all 10 seasons? Who does she play?
She plays a new character called Chloe Sullivan. Chloe is kind of the audience in a lot of ways. And look, Allison Mack is doing time. She's done the crime. She's doing the time. I'm not here to talk about that, but within the context of the show, she does some phenomenal work. And you know, there've been stories where she's allegedly tried to bring some of the cast members into the cult. And it's very unfortunate what's happened. And, you know, hopefully, you know, with the crimes she's committed, if she's committed them, she has to do the time she has to do. But within the context of the show, she does a lot of heavy lifting, on exposition especially, but she does a lot of heavy lifting also, like, pushing Clark further and further along on his journey. She's the one, every time he's looking to quit, she's the Samwise to his Frodo,
okay,
making sure he continues that journey.
Interesting. Well, you've convinced me. I'm getting ready to jump into Smallville. Was there anything else you wanted to chat about Superman related?
Yeah, I almost didn't mention Laura Van Der Voort. Like, there's so much to talk about because it's 10 seasons long.
Yeah.
Later on in the series, Laura Van Der Voort shows up, and she plays Kara, and later Supergirl. And You know, they don't give her the no tights, no flights thing. They very much make her like Tara in, you know, other versions. But what's interesting is they're almost the same age because of how things work. But Clark has been on Earth longer and she escapes the Phantom Zone. So she is aged appropriately to Clark, even though she's his significantly older cousin. Okay. So the dynamic is great.
And she actually came to Regina at a Comic Con. I had an opportunity to see her there and catch her panel. It was a lot of fun. So looking forward to this show, John. Thank you very much for introducing it to me. And hopefully other folks out there will listen to this and think, hey, you know, maybe that's a series I should give a shot to. The song, not so much. I could kind of live without it. That's, I'm not heartbroken. We don't have to go back and listen to, Jesus, what the hell did we have left on that one? It was like 3 minutes or something. No, I'm good on that. I like the little snippet they used for the intro. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. And I think it will grow on you as you watch the series and you get more context behind the words of the song. Those particular words weren't written for the series, but they take on a stronger context within the spirit of the show.
Perfect. All right. That's a great way to end this one. I think, John, I guess to wrap up, maybe let the folks know where they can find you and what you got coming up.
Yeah, you can find me on Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. I do a little show with Scott Haskin and Corey Morissette. We talk about Aerosmith's entire catalog, and those two guys are working really hard and I show up. It's a lot of fun and we really enjoy it.
There you have it. And if you want, you can catch me on Twitter at CD Morissette, and you can catch me on my other shows, the aforementioned Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited with John and Scott, and the Podcast Will Rock with Mark Kammeyer talking everything Van Halen. So on behalf of John Mariano, my name is Corey Morissette. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you next time on Backtracks the Music.
Sorry, Clark. But you are the Traveler. You hold the future of the entire planet in your hands. I'm here to take it back.
Lex.
You'll never threaten the world again. Kal-El.
Lex, don't!
I love you like a brother, Clark. But it has to end this way.